about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey guys, so for today's video, I wanted to talk to you about how I found out I had two vaginas. And it all started with a duck.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'll tell you, it's really going to be fun. Looks nice. Oh, it's 5:30. Chip, get the china out of the garage. I'm going to rinse my feet.
Both of you are my friends to the end. Both of you are on my site. Both of you are on radio 106.7 K-Rock. Both of you are on the radio all the time on K-Rock.
And now,
this is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back. Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, November 12th. Who was that, sir? Who was that singing the Kevin and Bean song? I forget his name.
That's our late friend, Wesley Willis.
Wesley Willis. Love that dude.
Remember him?
Oh, sure.
Allie, do you remember Wesley Willis?
I'm not sure.
He was he was often homeless.
Mm-hmm.
He had some sort of mental disorder, but he also was incredibly gifted in other areas, which I guess is sometimes the case. And he was an indie singer who almost all of his songs sounded like that with different lyrics.
Okay.
And he became very popular for a while. They made a movie about him. And one of the crazy things I remember about him is he could look at a cityscape, like in Chicago where he lived, and then he could draw it with great precision from memory.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen people that can do that. It's phenomenal.
Yes. Is that, he's on the autism scale, I guess, right?
I think so, yeah.
I believe.
Is what
yeah.
it was, yeah. And he was a very, very sweet, very, very nice man, but he did scare people sometimes because he was a huge, huge dude.
He was a giant.
Yeah, and he had a big knot in the middle of his forehead where he used to bang his head on things.
Aww.
Which was troubling for a lot of people.
Who was but here, Bean?
Natalie Merchant.
Natalie Merchant.
Natalie Merchant was on our show in the 10,000 Maniacs days, or maybe just after. She might have been doing solo. And then Wesley Willis was scheduled to come on after her, and she was so terrified just seeing him outside the studio through the glass that she didn't want to leave the studio. So it was.
We're like, you don't know how sweet he's the sweetest person in the world. I know he looks like a giant, but he's
well,
so
he was
sweet.
Yelling. He was out in the hall yelling.
I mean, he
about
was doing
Kevin
that.
And Bean. Yeah. So I think they just terrified her. Who's this crazy huge guy out there yelling? He was a really, really interesting guy, and he put out a bunch of records. And like I said, they all sounded like that. And he just played everything with a little Casio keyboard. I think he was like a one-man band, too. I think he also had a little drum set with his foot and stuff. I think he did it all. But Wesley Willis, if you're in the mood for something weird, it might be worth... God bless him. He's passed away now, but it might be worth you checking out if you ever want to go down a bizarre rabbit hole. He sang that song about us. Yep. He would sing a song about anybody, though. By the way,
sure.
We were nothing special.
Oh.
But it was very nice of him. And he always would end with, Rock Over London, Rock Over Chicago... McDonald's, the most delicious burger in the world.
You remember like, that.
That's how his songs would end.
You don't remember anything.
Well, Wesley made an impact on
you,
man.
Wow, that's impressive.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, does that answer everybody's questions about Wesley?
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good. We can move on.
I didn't think we'd have time to get to this later, so I wanted to play a little bit of audio of a moment a lot of people were talking about over the weekend that happened on Saturday Night Live. Allie, you said you might tune in to see a little Liev Schreiber. Did you?
I did not.
He was not good.
Oh, no.
That's what we were afraid of.
He did admit in the monologue that he is not a funny person. He does not really do comedy.
Well,
and then he proceeded
that's
to prove
what you want.
It.
Yeah.
Right? Which is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
So the moment that people were talking about that I'm sure you saw online, if you didn't watch it, you'll find this tape interesting, is Pete Davidson on SNL had made a joke the week before about some of the people who were running for office. And he made fun of Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw,
mm-hmm.
who is a congressman-elect now out of Texas, Republican from Texas. And he had made some joke. I don't even remember what it was. It was something about how he looked like he was a like a pirate director in a porn movie or something like that because he has the eye patch.
Sure.
Now, the dude is a war hero. The dude lost his eye in his third mission in Afghanistan, his third tour of duty in Afghanistan, and got blown up by an IED. That's why he has an eye patch. So a lot of people, us included on this show, said, super uncool, Pete. So Pete came out and made an apology, but there was a surprise.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It was a poor choice of words. The man is a war hero, and he deserves all the respect in the world. And if any good came of this, maybe it was that for one day, the left and the right finally came together to agree on something. That I'm a dick.
And then...
You think?
So that's when Dan Crenshaw himself slides into the frame at the Weekend Update.
This guy he was making fun of?
Yes, he's now on SNL. So Pete made his apology, and then they came up with this.
Last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please.
All
right.
This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on, well, one more. This is.
All right. All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. All right, that's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
He looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3. By the way, one of these people was actually good on SNL.
And then because it was, and this is the real reason I wanted to play it, I thought that was a funny appearance by the Congress-elect, but then because it was a Veterans Day weekend, Lieutenant Dan, and I can't believe no one calls him Lieutenant Dan,
yeah,
by the way, but Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw went on to add this about Veterans Day, which I thought was really so well said.
Okay, but seriously, there's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service, but I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that as an American, you are in it with them, not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans who will never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget. And that is for both of us.
Well, that was a really good appearance.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Yeah, that was well said.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ellie, go ahead.
I was going to say the part that also cracked me up was his phone started ringing at one point, and it was an Ariana Grande ringtone. That was very
funny. That was very funny. Now, I'm afraid to he seems like a very nice man, and it was a great appearance. I'm afraid to dig too deep into him because I'm worried that he's an awful person, but my impression so far of Lieutenant Commander Dan is that he's a great guy.
My favorite part of the whole thing was when he said, I'm really sorry about this. Sorry for making you look bad. And he said, hey, I'm sorry for you making Republicans look great. I was like, oh, damn.
It's on.
It was pretty fun. So see, Kevin, every once in a great while, there's a moment that's worth seeing on Saturday Night Live.
Right. And I got that without even watching a second.
Well, that's a good point.
Can I ask you a question, Bean?
Yes, sir.
When he's,
yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes, who?
Sure. When he slid in on his chair, did you for a split second think, oh, God, it's Liev Schreiber. Don't do this, guys. Don't do this.
No,
it was a skit.
I totally did. I was like, what are you doing? I watched the clip, and I was like, oh, thank God it is him. Yeah.
That would have been another, that would have been a mistake on top of a mistake, wouldn't it?
That's strong.
All right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Kevin!
Obsessed.
Look, I love that.
Uh-huh.
But Bean takes it to a cartoonish level.
Yeah. Well, you don't love it enough then.
All right.
You got to love it more.
We have the best of Next Door. Ellie, what is Next Door?
Next Door is basically a community platform. It's like social media for neighbors. So it links you up with all your neighbors on the site, and you could say, you know, things that you might be concerned about. You're seeing a prowler, or in many cases, things that you learn about your neighbors that can be way too much. No. It's insane what people post on Nextdoor.
I love
it's
it.
A gift. I love it so very much.
Cannot wait for that. We have Mr. Bad Example today.
No.
Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, yeah, man.
Come on now.
Come on now to you.
Sir?
I didn't do it. It's a pretty good match.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a pretty good match.
Excellent.
It's Monday, so we do great news. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Eddie Ift, our friend and comedian, who is, I guess, how close was his house to the fires?
Well, if he was in Malibu, the entire city was evacuated, and many, many people lost their homes. So I just hope that's not what we find out from Eddie. These fires, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
I've never seen
in Southern California. It's the worst fires I've ever seen in Southern California. It is heartbreaking. It's hard to believe it's real.
Yeah.
When you see the video and how fast it's spreading and how many people have lost homes, and once you lose Miley Cyrus's home, man, I mean,
that's it. That was the one for you.
That was the one for me. That was the dagger to the heart for me.
We had two families staying with us just because they had to evacuate.
Same with me.
Miley too.
Yeah. It's insane.
Also, we're going to get a recap on the Mitzvah Brothers.
Oh, God.
They're Boys to Menorah, as they're called.
Mm-hmm.
They did it over the weekend, and I actually saw some video of it.
Yeah.
Really? It looks like it may have gone relatively well.
Yeah.
What are the chances
saw
of
mugs
that?
Out there on the dance floor leading some little tricks.
Sure. Were they tricks?
He was the hype man for Omar Khan.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Can't wait.
NFL Week 10, we will talk about with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, and we're going to start giving away tickets today to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas a little bit later on this morning.
Why are you burying the lead? Why are you not even mentioning the thing that we're most excited about on today's show? Why are you just passing on over all we care about?
What is all we care about?
Kevin in the booth at the LA Kings game Saturday night.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
What a letdown, man.
What?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
That was
wow,
awesome.
Wow, what a letdown you were. Being all good and crap. That's all I'm saying. Boo, Kevin.
A little behind the scenes, I guess we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Come out this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I always look forward to the first what's happening of a new week, Allie, because you're going to tell us stuff we missed over the weekend.
Maybe. What if I don't? What if it's just all stuff you're like, knew it, move on. What about some box office, you guys?
Sure.
Did you see a new movie this weekend, Kevin, or you were pretty busy? Oh, you did?
Overlord.
You did?
So good.
Okay.
Zombies killing Nazis, what's not to like?
I agree. I am down for that.
It was really good.
Well, The Grinch apparently struck a real chord with family audiences, earning a strong $66 million in its opening weekend. That's insane,
that
you guys.
Is insane.
Universal reports that it's the largest opening weekend for a Christmas-themed film in box office history.
What?
All right.
What?
What?
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
And think about what the next couple of weeks are going to be.
Right.
For The Grinch.
When people are off.
Thanksgiving and whatnot. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody dropped from their big pull last weekend, obviously, like movies are wont to do. Why did I just say that?
Not sure.
Yeah. Had a $30 million total for second place. Again, not bad at all. Overlord, the movie that Kevin saw, zombies fighting some Nazis, came in third with $10 million. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms landed at number four with $9.6 million. And The Girl in the Spider's Web, a new dragon tattoo story, finished the weekend at number five with $8 million.
Ooh.
That's not a lot.
What's the word on that one? Bean?
She's the best thing in it.
Okay. Is it not good and she is good?
Claire Foy is good because she's a really good actress, but there's not a lot to recommend in terms of the movie itself and the story and whatnot. Yeah.
Got it. Hey, guys. You know my love for Bruno Mars.
Sure.
Well, he just finished a bunch of hometown shows on the island of, where's Honolulu? I just said, wait, on the island of Honolulu? No, that's a city. Yeah, he just finished up his big 24 Magic World Tour, and he decided that he was going to make a donation through the Salvation Army's Hawaiian and Pacific Islands Division's 48th Annual Thanksgiving Dinner Meal Program. Oh, he's just feeding 24,000 Hawaiians a Thanksgiving meal because he is love personified, and he wants people to be happy and eat turkey and have stuffing, and that's what he does because he's a hometown boy that does good.
How can you make that bad, B?
Right?
Well, I'm happy with him feeding people who need it as long as he also retires. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh,
And I've decided at this time to step away from my farce of a music career.
How dare you? He is so good live, Bean. I wish I could kidnap you and tie you to a seat and just make you enjoy a concert. I know none of that seems like...
That's the best way to enjoy a concert.
It would lead to enjoyment, but...
If you do kidnap me and take me to a Bruno Mars concert, I hope I die on the way.
Wow. Guy so who says he wants to live to 100.
Wow. Well, I'm not going to live through that. I'll tell you that.
Whew. Wow. All right. That's just insanity.
That is, yeah.
You guys hear about the Morrissey show on Saturday night?
I did.
So he's just kind of finishing up on stage, singing Every Day Is Like Sunday. Here are the headlines. Morrissey attacked on stage. Morrissey jostles with fan on stage. Or what happens at a lot of Morrissey shows, people get up, try and hug him. Because for some reason, people feel Morrissey is a hugger. And that's something that he wants. But footage of the incident shows that one man appeared to strike Morrissey before the singer exited the stage, and then he was dragged away by security. Morrissey's manager released a statement saying that the incident had nobody was trying to punch the singer. Here's his quote. The fan in question is, quote, certainly more aggressive in reaching out for him than most. So security had to do their job and subdue the fan. It looked like people were just going on stage to be on stage at a Morrissey show. Sure. And if they could high-five him, cool. They could hug him even better. But
like, this doesn't happen. That happens at every single Morrissey show, right?
I think so.
Does, at the end, people try to get near him?
But I loved it. Attacked on stage. Jostles with fan on stage. Or you could just look at any Morrissey show and see that this happens all the
time. Those people that write those headlines don't know Morrissey. That's all.
Yeah. Or they just want you to click. I believe they call that clickbait. That's what the kids are calling it. Just started. Just new. This whole clickbait thing. I'm
new.
At the forefront of telling you what's new.
Not sure you are.
All right. Hey, some birthdays for you. Ryan Gosling. Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Okay. He walked on the moon.
That was just a movie.
Really? I saw the documentary about him in the space program.
No, that was a movie called First Man. Megan Mullally.
She's a bitch.
How dare you? I saw you doing something over there, and I was like, this better not be for my Megan. Megan Mullally is a gift from
She's
God.
She's a bitch.
How dare you, old lady?
You talk about somebody that's a loser. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
All right. You're all going to hell. You're all going to hell. And happy birthday to Anne Hathaway. Oh, nothing for Anne?
No.
That's what's happening.
That is Florence and the Machine. She is playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night number two. There are still some tickets available if you'd like to get those at Ticketmaster.com.
And you should, by the way, because they put on one of the best shows in the business. A couple of, I understand, very few tickets available for night number one with the Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, and all the rest. You can get the details at KRock.com and buy those tickets now. They will sell out. And those weekends are fast approaching, by the way.
No kidding.
December 8th and 9th at the Forum. Not a lot to celebrate as a Los Angeles Kings fan so far this year. But as you're fond of pointing out, Kevin, when your team gets off to a slow start, you don't really have to worry about it until you get to be, around December-ish.
I mean, it's early.
That's when you need to kind of be in the playoff hunt, right?
Ish. I mean, it's early-ish.
Ish. Right, exactly.
You don't want to be so far out that you can't, even if you get on a good run, you can't make the playoffs.
Unattainable. That's not what you want.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of season left to go, and then fortunes could improve. But they did have a bright spot at Saturday night's game when they welcomed a Hall of Fame radio celebrity into the broadcast booth. People saw stars at that show. Tell us about it, Kevin.
That's true. So I did the pregame with Patrick O'Neill and Jarrett Stoll, who I love. And it's just a weird, weird thing because TV's so different. You sit down and you put a thing in your ear and they can talk to you the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And I am not good necessarily at even speaking the English language, let alone having somebody talk to me at the same time.
Can you imagine if during this show, Kevin had somebody else, Allie, talking into his ear at the time he was trying to be on the radio?
No.
It happens occasionally. But then I go in there and I go, hey, you guys got to keep it short because I can't concentrate. But this was like the executive producer of the show.
Right.
And he was giving me time and maybe some angles. And they put up some video. And I was sort of just winging it. They didn't give me any instruction. They just said, all right, put on the headphones. Welcome.
You were there that night because you, the Kings, partner with Friends and Helpers to get food together, right? For people for the holidays, right?
Yeah, and that was the third night, and the next one is next and last one at the Kings game is the 21st. So that was cool. We put up our booths outside of all the doors, and people came and they dropped off food, and that was really that was awesome.
You did a really good job though, sitting there with those guys.
And really?
You were doing great to the point that Patrick O'Neill at one point said to you and Jarrett, "Do I even need to be here? You guys just want to keep chatting." It was really good, Kevin.
I was a little bit nervous in that I kept talking and kept talking. Maybe that's why he thought that. I was trying to hide that I was nervous, but
no, you did a great job.
I was nervous. Thank you.
Like to the point where a lot of us were bummed.
It's really weird. It's really weird knowing that I felt like it was going well, but I have no idea. Like, am I doing something that everybody's going to make fun of? And I didn't even check social media because I was so happy.
Yeah.
I had such a good time. I don't want to read anything negative. So I was like, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to enjoy this time. So we were talking and they started showing a video. We were playing the Calgary Flames and they showed a video of a big fight that Jonathan Quick was involved in. So Jonathan Quick is out as our goalie, so now we have Jack Campbell in. But I forgot Jack Campbell's name, and I said Ben Bishop, who was our goalie like a year and a half ago.
It's all right.
It wasn't
big
great.
Guy.
It wasn't great. So here's a little bit of that. And I got to tell you, it's really difficult to look at two different people, both of whom are looking at you like, we have no idea what you're talking about, and it's live. So this is what it sounds like.
You know, if you wake them up and you get in their face early, it could be a long night. But
how's Bishop at fighting? Quick will jump right in there.
Bishop?
How's Bishop at fight? We just saw Jonathan Quick jump right into the middle of the fight.
I don't know.
Oh, you dropped Jack Campbell.
I'm sorry. I said the wrong name. Jack Campbell.
I don't know. He's not.
He's too nice of a guy, but I bet he's got an edge to him.
So that wasn't ideal.
What's with the music?
I don't know. I think it's just on the pregame show. I think they're showing highlights. Stuff like that.
Are we going to hear the tape of you saying hi to Allie, by the way?
Oh, no, I don't have that, but I can pull it.
Oh, we have to have that. We have to play that later because you looked like you had a gun to your head. You wanted to say hi to Allie.
No, it's not that I didn't want to say hi to her. It's that I don't like to be forced to do anything.
Listen, my friend Carlin.
She's so sweet.
Is wonderful. She does all the in-arena interviews, basically, during the game. I don't know where that came from. I was not watching at that point, but she sent me the video. She's like, I made him say hi to you. I'm like, Carlin, calm down.
She held his head down against the concrete floor.
She
told me like four times we need to say hi to Allie. I'm like, okay, take it easy.
How
important is this?
I mean, look, I see Allie 5 days a week. I don't really need to say hi to her.
It's not that I didn't want to. It's like she's pressuring me, and I don't like it.
Oh, I get it.
So then I went up in the booth, and I started talking about the 1993 Stanley Cup Finals. Bean and I both went, and we were in Montreal. Mm-hmm. We were wearing Kings jerseys. Mm-hmm. And here's the story.
Now, in 1993, Game 5, you went to Montreal to see if the Kings can extend that series.
In a Kings jersey in Montreal, and Game 5 is when they won the Cup.
Right, and there were riots.
At the beginning, it was all great. I was walking through town. Everybody was mouthing off. It was fun. We got to the arena. People started drinking. I forgot to tell them about Bean. Because I was wearing a Kings jersey. Bean was not.
Yeah.
So inside the arena, all the way around, Bean would go, Kings fan! And point at me. Kings fan, right here! Hey, everybody, Kings fan!
And Kevin may have been one of only about three Kings fans in that arena for Montreal.
And then they show the cup. You know the shot where they go, the cup is in the building.
Right.
And the guy with the white gloves is pulling
it off.
And they all drank harder. And now, like, they're getting in my face.
God.
Look at this. So now they start showing the riot. Cars being turned over.
Oh, yeah.
Things thrown through. I mean, it was insane.
It was Boston-like. You would have been proud, Allie.
Oh, man.
When we walked outside, this was happening. There's a full-on riot.
That's insane.
And I have to tell you, I took off my jersey. I'm embarrassed to say this as a Kings fan, but and I bought a shirt that said, you know, the finals, and I was high-fiving people. Hey, we won.
I don't blame you, bud. I don't blame
you. The first thing that I saw when I came out was a police car turned over on fire.
So
I was like, I'm a terrible fan, but I need to put on a shirt that won't get me killed. And Bina had to walk through that riot probably a half a mile to our hotel.
Oh, at least, yeah. I was just thinking about how long that walk felt like, because especially before you took that Kings jersey off, it was like you had a target on your back.
Yeah, I did.
Because these fans were so hyped.
Somebody else in the building was going, hey, put a target on this guy's back.
Well, I think once we got outside the arena, though, the Kings jersey was all they needed to see, and they were ready to rip you apart.
Yeah, it was rough.
But that was, that was a crazy night. So it was a fun experience, and you did well.
I loved it.
Yeah?
And it's hard for me to tell. I didn't screw up in a big way.
You didn't screw up at all. Ben Bishop's name, whatever. He was a goalie for the Kings at one point.
All right.
That's all right. You did really good. You seem super comfortable and super into it.
Here's the thing. I was having a ball.
Yeah.
I really was enjoying it. And so it's like, people ask me later, how did it go? And I was like, honestly, I don't know how it was received, but I had a great time.
It's all that matters.
You need to quit this job and go do full-time play-by-play with the Los Angeles Kings.
I mean, I feel like they have that covered.
Did the Kings win?
Well,
I mean,
define win,
right?
Bean.
Okay.
Did they have a good time?
that's what matters.
That didn't even matter. I don't think they even had a good time.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us on the program later on today to talk NFL Week Number 10. Those Rams, by the way.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Right.
It hurts me to say that, but those Rams, by the way.
Right.
Also on the program today, we're going to give
Bean says that because his team is Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it got down to the last 20 seconds. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm. But the Rams are good, guys.
Yep.
That's a bulletin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also we'll give away the very first pair of tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's going to be night number one this time around. So if you want to win those to go see Smashing Pumpkins and all the rest, stand by. Your chance coming up on K-Rock.
All right. What are we doing here? Are we talking about...
Talking about Nextdoor.
Nextdoor. I love this, and I think I need to be a part of it.
Yeah, we've been chatting about it off the air because I belong to my community's Nextdoor. Jensen is involved with his. If you don't know what it is, it's a social network, lets neighbors connect with each other online. It's basically, a lot of people have said, it's like Twitter for old people in your neighborhood. But it's a way to let people know things like, oh, my car got broken into. Anyone see anything?
Oh, interesting.
To, hey, my babysitter is looking to pick up more nights. If anybody needs a great babysitter, here's their information. So like a big community message board.
Okay.
But sometimes things creep in there that are absolutely ridiculous. And that is why Best of Nextdoor is a Twitter account that everybody should be following. Because first of all, you have to submit your address, your phone number. They check to make sure you live in that neighborhood. So you can't just be posting all willy-nilly.
Right.
So these are actual posts from people. Let's just start off with this one. Just a bit weird.
Okay.
Somebody posted, Sunday night, my daughter had a guy over that she met on a dating app. When he left, he took our cat. What can I do? The only thing we have is his number. He said if we send him cash, he'll return the cat, which we're not that stupid.
What?
I just want my cat back. Okay.
Wow.
So, who comes over and steals someone's cat?
I don't know. It's insane. And then it can get kind of personal between neighbors.
Uh-oh.
Like this one. Dear Melissa, hope you had fun texting my boyfriend. If I see you in the neighborhood, you better run the other way. Sincerely, Sean's girlfriend, Brittany. Okay.
Don't trust Brittany.
No, don't mess with Brittany. But the majority of them tend to be, do you guys hear this outside? What is it? That type of thing. Like this whole thread, what's up with this new screaming bird? And then people would say, oh, I heard it last night too. Where's it coming from? Blah, blah.
Allie's
Everybody's
house.
Weighing in until this last person kind of nipped it in the bud with, turns out it's a goat, you guys. So they got to the bottom of that. So it's a great way to really learn not only about your neighbors, but for things that you've been worried about or wondering about. Sometimes someone can just slide right in with, guys, it's a goat. Let's calm down about the new bird.
I love it. I need to be a part of it.
Yeah, there's some very weird requests like this one. Does anyone have a corgi we could borrow for an hour or two Saturday evening? It would be from 6 to 8 p.m. Could be earlier, later, shorter, longer. It would be for a royal wedding viewing party. The corgi would receive much admiration and care. Thank you. Oh, God.
Who would give somebody their dog for a couple hours?
Not real sure. But a lot of people looking for, hey, do you have a plumber? Do you have
I can see that.
Something
That's
like
good.
That? That's so good. Lawn service. Hey, I need a new good lawn service guy. My former guy smoked way too much weed and he couldn't mow in straight lines. Please respond with recommendations. Thanks. Or what about maybe you're looking for something, you can't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Turn to your neighbors. I know this is a total long shot, but I'd love to surprise my friend by introducing him to a sloth. Some of the places are pretty pricey. Wasn't sure if maybe someone had a less expensive recommendation or even connection with an owner. So, I mean, you could find a sloth. Oh,
that's a weird item.
It's a weird item.
Very specific.
Very
right.
Specific.
What are the chances someone in your neighborhood is going to have a sloth hookup?
I mean, you never really know.
Yeah, I got a guy. I got a sloth guy.
And then people just complaining about other neighbors. This one took a lot of turns. So we've lived in our house for almost 3 years now. Our neighbor has called the cops on us for numerous stupid things, like our 15-year-old having a slumber party, screaming during a food fight, our computer radio being too loud in the center of our house. But last night, that was a new one. My husband and I were deep cleaning the tile and grout in our sunroom last night because we plan on setting up a nail salon in there, complete with a pedicure chair. Anyways, our neighbor just called us because they said we were cleaning up a homicide. We had three cops sneak up on us trying to catch us in the act. What is going on at this point? You're accusing us of murder. What is happening
what
in this neighborhood?
What is happening in that neighborhood?
I think they protest too much. I think they should look into those people.
I agree. But possibly my favorite segment is the lost and found section.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people aren't real bright. This is a picture of a coyote that says, just found this dog in the ravine.
Oh.
And they've got the coyote in the tub and they're washing it. So they're getting this dog ready for one of his neighbors to claim it. And then another one, which is a, let's say it's something that maybe you insert in your rear region. It's a picture of that, and it says, not sure what it is, but it sure looks valuable. Let me know if it's yours.
Who's going to claim that?
Unbelievable.
Oh, you know, I misplaced it. Sorry about that.
Unbelievable. But everything, like I said, from, hey, there's a guy in a ski mask walking around the neighborhood, things that can really alert you to things going bad. But quite possibly the one that I just said, you know what? This is when you just maybe shut down next door for the night because it's too much. This will be my last one because there's nowhere to really put this. Is it lost and found? I guess it would be free item.
Okay, free item.
New unopened box of Kotex tampons. And then it says, let's just say the lady of the house no longer requires them. Hooray! All right, next door. All right, shut it down.
I don't know why we're just going about our business here like Weird Al isn't coming in on Friday, by the way.
Right?
I feel like that's all we should be talking about.
And what would we say about that?
Hey, Weird Al's coming in on Friday,
right.
You guys.
And then?
Huh?
It's going to be fun, right? We're all looking forward to that, aren't we?
I mean, I'd rather talk about Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that is.
You don't.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Are you suggesting that sometimes I try to clarify a story by pulling out an example that will illustrate the point I'm trying to make?
Right.
And it's not always useful?
Sometimes it's horrible and funny as hell. The first one is Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. We were talking about him kneeling, and Bean was saying that a Green Beret or some Green Berets told him that that's how he should do it. And Bean wanted to make sure that everybody understood, so he gave several different examples that I think were fantastic.
That's what the recommendation from the Green Beret was to Colin Kaepernick, which is why he decided to make that his thing rather than fart at the flag or put up, you know, to flip off the flag or drop
That's
his pants.
Great example. Fart at the flag.
No, what I'm saying is there are a lot of ways that he could have openly been disrespectful.
Do you think he ever considered farting
at the flag?
I don't.
I don't know where that came from.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I'm just trying to figure out how that would work. Because the flag's a long way away. I mean,
it is.
Just in its general direction.
Are you carpet dusting the whole place hoping to get the flag?
Now, I don't have to take it back or anything, right?
No.
That's not what this is. Okay, good.
We're all laughing together.
I see. We're all having a good time. Okay.
So Bean's been talking for a long time about wanting to play the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants that.
Well, I'm a euchre now.
Sure. Define a euchre, then.
a person who plays a ukulele.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this was his original thing where he was telling us how great it will be when he gets a ukulele.
Well, for instance, let's say I'm on a plane then, okay. and the pilot comes on and goes, excuse me, Pastor, sorry to interrupt your movie, but is there anyone on the plane who plays the ukulele? Boom!
Right?
I'm the guy.
That's probably happened to me 10 times.
It's a great example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I'm not sure why I thought that would ever happen.
It's like a pilot would say that. You're like, me! I'm your guy. We were talking about Oprah possibly running for president, and Bean suggested that she stay away from controversial issues.
Oprah is setting the stage to run for president in 2020. She can't appear to be out of touch by selling, you know, $3,000 toilet water in a bottle or something like that. She's trying to reach the regular person.
It's a great example, though. A lot of people buying toilet water in a bottle. Absolutely.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How does that come to your head? How do you think about that?
Allie, you know more about perfume than I do.
You were thinking of Eau de Toilette.
Yes.
Yeah,
isn't that toilet water?
No. No.
Well, what is it? What's Eau de Toilette?
It's not toilet water.
And it shouldn't cost $3,000 either.
It shouldn't.
Next, we were talking about Jensen and Danielle's wedding. And Jensen is a friend of John Mayer. Mm-hmm. And I was just sort of telling you that he played at their wedding, and then Bean had an interesting response.
That's what the recommendation from the Green Beret was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I played that again. Hold 1 second, please.
Okay.
It's good radio. Before the first dance, John Mayer walked by, grabbed his guitar.
Sure. Yep.
And started singing while they danced.
Their first dance.
Yes.
What is Jensen, like the Sultan of Brunei?
I don't know.
That's a great pull, too. Great example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Now, why is that a bad example? The Sultan of Brunei is, historically, the richest person in the world. That's the person who could afford to hire a megastar play a reception.
Couldn't you go Bill Gates or something?
He's wealthy. That might have been a reference that would have connected with more people.
Sure.
I'm saying my reference wasn't wrong. It maybe just didn't include.
Outdated?
Maybe a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Now we're talking about how long it takes to determine the cause of death in certain situations. And Bean has an example of that.
Look, it has to do with how you go. I mean, if you fall into a volcano, Allie, we don't need a week to determine you're dead, okay? It all depends on the circumstances.
Great example, though, because people are they're falling into, you know, volcanoes all the time.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How many of these do we have?
Just one more. Why would you say, let's say you fell into a volcano. Like, that's your first and only example.
Okay, here's the only thing I can guess.
Okay.
With the timing of that one, we just had Phil Kogan on, who was doing a show for National Geographic where he literally climbed down into a volcano.
Yeah. This was weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
This was long before that.
All right.
Here's the final one. We were talking about people using the wrong products on accident. And being what this may be one of his best.
I think it would be interesting to hear from our listeners who have had similar experiences where they thought they were using one product and it turned out to be something else. And by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be something like these two examples of the body. It could be like you were trying to pour cement.
Marking it. You're about to nail it. Keep going.
You think you're pouring cement and it's actually flour.
Wait, what? Hold on. I need a diagram.
My point is that some things look alike.
You're just, you know, using a cement mixer.
An example, right.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Come on.
Maybe
you get it mixed up. You know, cement looks like flour.
It could happen.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Hey, Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show just after 7 means great news.
Oh, man.
Okay, go.
Great news. Nope.
Okay, now.
Great news.
You quit. That's on you.
No, it's just one of us doing it. It's just great new.
That's coming up. Plus, we'll check in with our friend Eddie F., who unfortunately is among the many in Southern California evacuated right now due to fires. All of Calabasas right now under mandatory evacuation. It's just, it's stunning, the reach of these fires. It's just so, so terribly tragic. So we hope you, our listener, are safe. Allie is here now with another look at what's happening here on a Monday morning.
Well, baby makes three for Kate Upton and Justin Verlander. They welcomed their first child together on Wednesday. They announced their little girl's arrival on Instagram with Kate sharing a close-up of the baby's face along with the caption, Genevieve Upton Verlander, 11/7/18. It's a cute baby. Sometimes they look all squished and weird. It's a pretty cute baby, you guys. What if Kate Upton was your mom? Right? Think she'll be a pitcher? This little one, Genevieve? Quite the arm.
I don't think she's going to get that from Kate Upton.
Well, from her dad,
yeah.
Justin Verlander. Yeah. Right?
Sure.
One of the greatest of all time.
Sure.
Right? Bean?
Just thinking about Kate Upton.
I thought you might be.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Joe Perry from Aerosmith collapsed backstage and was rushed to a hospital after a performance with Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden on Saturday.
No.
The 68-year-old guitarist had just finished playing Walk This Way with Joel when he began gasping for air in his dressing room. He was carted away on a stretcher. Paramedics did a trach tube in his throat to help him breathe and spent about 40 minutes treating him amid complete panic backstage. His rep says that he is in stable condition now at the hospital.
Did you say 40 minutes?
40 minutes before he even got out of there.
Wow.
Yeah. That's bad, you guys.
I don't get it. I mean, he was fine on stage playing Walk This Way.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, boom, he can't breathe. Don't understand what happened.
That's how medical emergencies happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's no telling.
Not a lot of warning.
Not a lot of warning, yeah. Especially if he... Nope, not going to do it.
Good, thank you.
Moving on. You knew what I was going to do.
Of course.
Why?
Because you're you.
Okay. Lady Gaga was honored Thursday night at the SAG-AFTRA Foundation's third annual Patron of the Artists Awards. And she gave a very moving speech about mental health awareness. And she called for real change in the treatment and stigma surrounding the disease. She even said that she wants them to expand the programs for mental health, offering to put her money where her mouth is and shell out donations to partner with them. And she detailed her own mental health crisis, which she had nobody at the beginning of her career to talk to about things that she was going through. And she said through treatment, she found that she suffered from symptoms of dissociation and PTSD. She said that that later morphed into physical chronic pain, fibromyalgia, panic attacks, acute trauma responses, debilitating mental spirals that included suicidal and masochistic behavior.
Wow.
She said, quote, I'm telling you this because for me, it was too late. I needed help earlier. I needed mental health care. If there was preventative mental health care accessible to me earlier, I believe I would not have gotten as bad as it did. Oof.
That's a good message from someone who's been there.
Absolutely. And for someone putting their money where their mouth is. Listen, here's all this money. Let's partner. Let's make a huge difference. I feel like Lady Gaga's just growing up right before our very eyes. She's really she's always been a great person, but she really seems to have kind of come into her own in the last few years.
Doesn't seem like there's
Lady
ever
Gaga!
Right. Doesn't seem like there's ever a misstep.
No,
for her either.
I mean the meat suit wasn't great, but
she I think she was going for shock value.
Absolutely. And Michael C. Hall is opening up about his sexuality and his past roles as LGBTQ characters. The actor got candid about how he's, quote, not all the way heterosexual when discussing his roles as David in 6 Feet Under, the MC in Cabaret, and Hedwig in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Here's his quote. I think there's a spectrum. I'm on it. I'm heterosexual. But if there was a percentage, I would say I was not all the way heterosexual. I think I have always learned and leaned into any fluidity in terms of my sexuality. All right.
Okay.
All right.
He says he's never had a relationship with a man, but is still attracted to men.
Yeah, he said...
He's been married to 3 women.
This is a very this quote makes me think, oh, Michael C. Hull has done some deep dives into therapy, because he said, I've never had an intimate relationship with a man. I think maybe because of an absent father, there has definitely been a craving for an emotional intimacy with a man. I mean, his dad left when he was 11. And by left, he passed away. So I shouldn't say he just walked out. But he
left for good.
But to realize
what a dick for dying.
No. But to realize that he never had that emotional connection with his dad in his formative years.
That's pretty good insight.
I mean, that's really great insight.
I think you're right. It sounds like somebody's been going to therapy.
Absolutely.
He's such a great actor.
So good. He used to live by me, and I'd see him all the time in my neighborhood, and I'd always be like, thank God Dexter lives near me.
That's right.
He's going to handle some stuff. And then he moved, probably because I was so creepy.
You creeped him out.
Totally. Some birthdays for you guys. Ryan Gosling, Megan Hathaway. What?
Huh?
I was trying to screw you up. I thought you'd play it. No?
Mm-hmm. What? Who is it?
Anne Hathaway and Megan Mullally. And that's
She's
what's happening.
No!
How dare you, you guys!
Next hour, we're giving away the first pair of tickets that you can win for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show for Saturday, December 8th with Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Biden, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, The Interrupters, AFI, AJR, and Bad Flower. That'll be next hour here on K-Rock. Don't forget, a few tickets still available for both nights. If you want to check it out at Ticketmaster.com, go to K-Rock.com for all the details.
If you watch the news, it's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Yeah. Especially right now.
Especially right now.
The fire.
It just seems like it's everything is so negative, and that's why on Mondays, we do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for...
My story involves the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter. You guys remember that? It wasn't that long ago, but it seems like it was six tragedies ago. I mean, it's just been crazy. He went into a synagogue and shot 12 different people. He got injured and got taken to the hospital. The trauma nurse in the emergency room that cared for the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, Robert Bowers, was Jewish. And it was a very moving Facebook post when he explained why he did it. So this guy shot up 11 people of the Jewish faith, and the nurse that treated him when he came in was also Jewish.
How do you feel about the Jews?
He said, I'm the Jewish nurse that cared for Robert Bowers. The trauma nurse in the ER that cared for Robert Bowers, who yelled, death to all Jews, as he was being wheeled into the hospital.
Oh, God.
The Jewish nurse who ran in the room to save his life. I experienced anti-Semitism a lot as a kid. I found drawings on my desk of my family being marched into a gas chamber, swastikas drawn on my locker, notes shoved inside of it saying, die Jew, love Hitler. It was a different time back then when bullying was not monitored as it is now. I didn't say a word to Robert about my religion. I chose not to say anything to him the entire time. I wanted him to feel compassion. I chose to show him empathy, love. That's why I did it. Love as an action is more powerful than words, and love in the face of evil gives others hope. It demonstrates humanity. It reaffirms while we're all here, the meaning of life is to give meaning to life, and love is the ultimate force that connects all living beings. I could care less what Robert Bowers thinks, but you, the person reading this, love is the only message I wish to instill in you. If my actions mean anything, love means everything. Respectfully, Ari Mahler, RN.
Wow.
He or she is a way better person than I am.
Agreed.
He's a way better person than I am. Because I would have accidentally figured out a way to cut off that dude's breathing tube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How could you not want to?
There's more detail on what he did to help save the guy, but he couldn't give all of the details. But, man, I agree with Bean. Like, who's capable of that? That's super impressive.
Yeah.
And that's my great news.
That is great news. This story comes out of Stockton, California. There is a principal there. Her name is Yulin Aisa. She has been undergoing a very tough time. She's principal at George W. Bush Elementary School in Stockton. She was first diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer back in November of 2016 at the age of just 37, went on medical leave, was gone for a few months, came back, and is now fighting it again, unfortunately. She was surprised by a school assembly the other day. She said, it's one thing for parents and staff to have managed to keep it a secret, but it's nearly impossible, a monumental feat, to keep close to 500 young kids from spilling the beans about what they had planned. She walked into the assembly not knowing what it was about, and that all the kids were there with pink ribbons that they had cut out of cardboard to hold up in support of their principal who has breast cancer. And then, as she took the stage, they started to sing. So the kids call it Pink Day, and they wanted to do this to, you know, to make the principal feel better about what she was going through because she's been recently re-diagnosed. By the way, kids are terrible singers.
Zero for effort. Zero for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
I mean,
none of them are going through to the next round. I'll tell you that.
No one's making it to Hollywood.
But you should see the video of her just crying her eyes out. She says, despite my illness coming back, I've been shown lots of blessings throughout this whole process. I've been humbled by the show of support and the love that I've gotten from teachers and parents and district personnel and the students, of course. And it was just, it was so sweet to see the surprise from all these kids, you know, who just love their principal and wish her the best. The whole campus was covered in pink for her. And I'm sure, you know, they always say that you have a better chance of fighting diseases like cancer if you have a positive attitude.
Yeah, true.
And I think that really, that probably helps her a lot, knowing she's got that kind of support at her school. And that's my great news.
Love it. We've talked about how much this whole segment has kind of changed listeners, and they'll now send in great news stories, which I love. And this one came from a listener named Kelly Flair for Photo is her at name on Twitter. She sent this to me about a man who found out his son was being bullied. His name is Aubrey Fontenot. And like most parents, he got really mad. And it became this ongoing situation between his son, Jordan, and another boy at school. And he urged his son, you know, befriend the guy, talk to him, like try and figure it out. Don't come to blows with him, that type of thing, because he had gotten into some hot water earlier in the year for defending himself. So things came to a head when his son's phone went missing. So he had had it at that point. He went down to the school. He spoke to the principal and a cop, and they wouldn't come right out and say it, but they were alluding to, listen, there's a lot going on in this kid's life. And he finally figured out this kid was homeless. This kid had a lot of bad things happening. And he wound up talking to the mom, who confirmed the situation. And he told the boy, listen, if you give Jordan's phone back, we'll pretend this didn't happen. You won't be suspended. But at that point, he had given the phone to someone else. No word on if he sold it, that type of thing. So he wound up being suspended. So this father of the kid that was being bullied asked the mom, hey, can I take your son out for the day on the day he's suspended?
And he beat the crap out of him.
No.
Oh.
Very different. He took him shopping again. Nope. How long will they?
It's a long fight.
It's a long fight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that didn't happen.
Oh.
Kids are stupid.
He took him shopping, bought him some clothes. He talked to him about morals and principles and having self-respect. He said he's not much of a talker, but he did get him to open up. He then, I swear to God.
Come on. It's kind of fun.
He then brought this young man to talk to his son, and he said, you guys are going to shake hands, and from now on, you guys are brothers. You protect each other. And he said, every war isn't won with your hands. It's easy to react first with emotions, but sometimes you just have to outsmart the situation. Now they're friends. Life is good. And I hate you both. And that's my great news.
We are, like most people, filled with admiration for fire and rescue year-round. But I just can't even imagine what they are going through 24/7 right now. I mean, these fires are relentless.
Yeah.
And I know they do have support. They do have help coming in from other other communities in California. Even other states now are starting to show up. But, I mean, imagine how exhausting and how frustrating that work must be hour after hour to try to beat back this fire that just will not give up.
I saw, I don't know, maybe 6-7 hours in, it said 0% containment.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, trying to get your head around that.
Yeah, you got thousands of guys just working their asses off, and they're not making any progress in some cases. And obviously, there have been a lot of people who have lost their homes, including some high-profile people like Robin Thicke and Gerard Butler and Miley Cyrus and Fred Durst. Frank from the Heidi Frosty and Frank show across the street at KLOS, he lost his home. I mean, fire is indiscriminate when it comes to whose house it's going to take. And we got our fingers crossed for our good friend Eddie Ift, comedian Eddie Ift, who is on the phone right now, who's one of the many, many, many people who has been evacuated from Malibu. Eddie, what was your weekend like, my friend?
It's been pretty crazy. I've been able to stand up on one ridge and watch the fire come down another ridge towards my neighborhood. So until, like you said, those firemen they're rock stars. These guys are... I felt like I was in a war movie, and we were watching the enemy come close, and then the fighter pilots came in and took them out. Wow. It was incredible watching the helicopters and the planes come in and with that it's called flash check. They dropped that reddish pink stuff on it, and just the water dumps, and we have such a great vantage point being where we are up there that we get to see them go back to the ocean and pick up water, and they're going to Pepperdine to these ponds and picking up water and coming back and dropping it. And we were cheering on the hill. Like it was,
sure.
it was pretty amazing.
How much advance notice did you and other residents of Malibu get that there was a mandatory evacuation?
I will say this, even in this days with the internet and TV and everything, that there's not a real well-organized, you remember when you were a kid and you saw that, like, this is a test of the emergency broadcast service? Well, now everybody's on so many different mediums that there's no real way to know which is the right information, because it seems like information's coming from a million different places. And one thing I've noticed is none of it's right. And
oh, wow.
So, you just keep hearing rumors from friends. I heard this, and we just got a text. Last night we got a text. There was a mandatory evacuation, which everybody thought that meant another fire was coming from, like, another direction. And it was just the evacuation that had been going on all along. But I went to see the Newberry Fire and the Woolsey Fire the night before when I had heard about them. And I just wanted to gauge where they were and how far away they were. And I thought we had nothing to worry about because they were about 15 miles away from our house. And it just seemed like a really far away. And so I went and saw them. I came home. I told my wife everything was okay. And then at 5 a.m, she woke me up going, it jumped to 101. It jumped to 101.
Then wind happened.
Yeah. It went so fast, and people in Oak Park had said, oh, we don't see anything. We don't see any smoke. And they were getting mandatory evacuations. And so many people were like, oh, it's nothing. And then within hours, it was overtaking all of Oak Park. It's insane how fast it moved.
Well, I think people in all situations, Eddie, tell me if you think I'm right about this. I don't care what it is. Any kind of disaster, whether it's a fire or it's a mass shooting, whatever it is, it always happens to somebody else. It's hard to wrap your head around, now I'm the guy who might lose his house or might whatever, fill in the blank, is happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been so lucky that it hasn't hit my direct neighborhood yet or my house, because I do have many, many friends that have had damage or lost. I have friends that have good friends that have lost their homes, and it's heartbreaking. But the scary thing is, one of the things, like Malibu, if anyone knows up there, is there's like one way out, the PCH.
Yeah.
And that thing backed up. You know, I sent my wife out so that I could go back and help a friend that was on crutches. And I said, you go down this canyon and then go out. And luckily I got her out of canyon that got her towards the end of it. But I had friends, I was talking to Brad Garrett, who was stuck in like 3 hours of traffic trying to get out of there. And, you know, a lot of the people that were stuck on Zuma Beach, the stories I've heard from there are terrifying, that they evacuated down to the beach thinking that was a safe haven, and then to see the fire crawl down the mountain towards them. And, you know, fire doesn't just you know, leap at you, but it, you know, throws sparks and throws embers and catches things on fire around you. And so the people that were on Zuma, that sounded terrifying.
Yeah, it was. And yeah. You probably saw Martin Sheen, who, you know, just ran out of the house with nothing, basically. He's like, look, I didn't have time to get my passport, you know, which is the one thing I wanted to make sure to get. But, I mean, yeah, it's just it's so unpredictable. And the winds are so high right now, and it can pick up an ember and move it 10 miles in a matter of moments.
And the way the wind shoots down the canyons, those Santa Ana winds, I watched it come through Malibu Creek State Park. Like, I should have done a time lapse on it, but it came through that canyon so fast down the Malibu Creek that it was like out of a movie. And that was the one I thought, oh, this one's coming right towards my house. And
are you optimistic right now, this morning? I mean, right now, do you feel like there's a good chance you'll be spared?
I saw the firemen laid down a pretty good line of this Foschek stuff, and it was stopping it. And they were, anytime there was a spot fire, they'd come by and put it out, but then it would start up again. What scares me is all it takes is one little spark for the Santa Ana wind to start one of these forest fires, and there's thousands of these little fires going everywhere, and the winds are picking up again. So I think we have 2 days of really scary winds. But, you know, I know just as much as everyone else does that's watching the news. And so I'm not a great source of information other than what I see myself. And we get to talk to firemen a lot. They come up the spot from where we're looking at, and the firemen will tell us some stuff every once in a while. And, it's scary though.
Let me point people again, and we've been putting this up on all the Kevin Amin and K-Rock social media. There are lots of ways to help. Of course, you can donate to the Red Cross, and money is always appreciated. I know the tendency is to donate things to shelters and everything, but a lot of the places that accept that, am I right about this, Allie, are all filled up with generosity already.
And a lot of people are bringing things to fire stations, and they've tried to make it abundantly clear, you're making more work for us now. Mm. Please do not do that. If anything, give to supportlafd.org. They're the ones that are taking money for hydration kits, basically everything that their budget has kind of put the nicks on. Mm-hmm. They are trying to get back for the firefighters out there. So that's supportlafd.org. And people are being so kind and so nice, and they just want to help. But sometimes you're creating more of an issue.
And you can text 90999. You can text CA Wildfires to 90999. That's the American Red Cross if you want to just go that way. And that takes about 5 seconds to do. And, of course, the American Red Cross has lots of ways they can spend that money. Eddie, will you keep in touch with Dave, our producer, and let us know how you and your family are doing? We'd like to keep our fingers crossed.
I definitely will. I'm going up to and sometimes there's no phone service. Power goes out and water goes out. So I never know, but I'll definitely tell Dave. And thank you guys. Thanks for looking out for us. And hopefully, you know, we no more property and homes burning, and everybody stay safe.
Yep. Fingers crossed. Eddie F., thanks for jumping on. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Muggs is here.
That's okay. We invited him. He's part of Boys to Menorah. Come on.
Yeah.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we had DJ Omar Khan and Beer Mug come in, and they told us that they were going to be working together as the Bro Mitzvahs. And then Boys to Menorah came out of it.
It's Mitzvah Brothers. Get it right.
Whatever it is. Whatever your name is. You guys are going to be working
like 10
together
times.
At a bat mitzvah this weekend. And I have to tell you, I am very surprised to see you guys come in smiling this morning and tell us it went well.
Very surprised. What's wrong with you, Bean?
Because on Friday, I felt like you guys had no idea what you were doing, and you were totally winging it. And now you're talking about how it was one of the most fun afternoons you ever spent.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. No, I'm a event professional, so I wasn't worried about the event. The only thing I was kind of worried about, and I was worried about Muggs being the host and kind of like doing, you know, the MC work. And he came through like he was a true hero. I mean, he hosted
easy
the crap
with
out of
that
this party.
Word.
Thank you,
yeah.
Omar.
Easy with the word
Thank
hero.
Thank you, Omar. Yeah. Well, let's talk. We have the parents of Lily.
Okay.
Dan and Jewel are there on the phone. Hey, guys.
Morning. Good morning, party people.
Hi,
hey,
you guys.
Dan and Jewel.
Good morning.
Let me interrupt Muggs and ask first, whose idea was this to hire these boys for the bat mitzvah? Was it your daughter, Lily, or was it you guys? Who's the Kevin and Bean fan in the family?
Well, this is Dan. I've been listening to K-Rock for many, many, many years. And last year, Kevin was talking about how DJ Omar Khan did a great job at parties and whatnot, and yeah. He recommended that people give him a call or go online, and I got online with him on the email, and that's it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But once you make the mistake of then including beer mug in your celebration, like, I want to know who to blame for that.
That was DJ Omar Khan's idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, just because, it was a bigger party. I think there was maybe like 200 people there.
Wow.
And I've never felt comfortable doing a mitzvah because I'm not of the Jewish faith. Mm-hmm. So beer mug is. And I felt if he would MC the event, you know, I could get by doing this, you know, as a legitimate business. And I would not feel uncomfortable doing these parties. Right.
Let me ask Jules, since the mom's on the phone, how does Lily have so many friends at 13 years old? I haven't had that many friends my entire life.
I don't know. Our kids go to a Jewish day school, and so she's in seventh grade. And what the rule is that you have to invite the entire grade.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
So it's a small school, so there's only 55 kids in her class, in her grade, in the whole seventh grade. But if you invite at least half the class, you have to invite the entire grade.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So tell us about the ceremony, or excuse me, the reception, I guess I should say, Omar. What were your favorite parts?
Everything. I mean, the place where we held it was tip top. Dan and Jewel, they got up lighting for the place. They got, you know, party lighting. Everything was just, the kids were super nice. We did a lot of games. Beer Mug, like I said, hosted the crap out of it, did the intros. There was one minor flub, and we're going to hear this, okay. where he was kind of introing Jewel here.
Give it up one more time for Mother Julie. A.K.A. Jewel.
Omar came so prepared. He gave me the rundown sheet, everything that we were doing, and I was going over Lily's parents' names, Dan, and what I thought was Julie. So I was like, oh, that's perfect, all right? And I didn't bother to ask Omar, okay, these are their parents. Lily's parents' name is Dan and Julie, right? Didn't ask him that. So I just went right into it, ready to go, and that's what happened.
Nice recovery.
Yeah.
Totally. And, we had, you know, Dan and Joel provided gift cards, and we did a couple of games, you know, with the kids. And here's a clip of Beer Mug doing some of his limbo action.
Oh, nice try. Watch your head. Watch your head. Oh, you're out. You hit the bar. You can't touch the bar. Oh.
At some point, did you guys... Dan and Jewel, at some point, did you guys go over to Beer Mug and say, stop yelling? What are you doing?
No, they did a fantastic job. We were so happy with what they did. It was just great, great, great.
You don't have to say that. You know that, right, Dan?
Yeah.
And the kids, all of them were, you know, just having a blast.
Super cool.
And here's a little clip where Lily was actually on the dance floor. Check this out.
Do the stanky leg. There's Lily.
Do the stanky leg.
Stank, stank. You know how to do the stanky leg?
Stank.
Do the stanky leg.
Stank, stank.
There it is.
Doing the stanky leg right there, Lily.
I mean, they do that at all mitzvahs.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
13's about the right age to do the stanky leg.
And I don't know if this was appropriate, though.
Let's see those cha-chas.
Oh, no.
Come on.
It was the
young women.
That was the dance I was referring to.
Inappropriate.
It's just not cool.
And the one thing Muggs maybe needs to improve on is maybe his hype skills aren't the best.
All you discoers out there.
All you discoers.
Yeah. And there's one more.
Oh, it's time to jump around.
That's it.
Kept it short and simple.
Yeah, okay.
But can I tell you guys something? You know, this was my first time hosting any sort of major event like this, as far as a bat mitzvah. And I've done, like, you know, K-Rock events. I've brought up bands on stages. I've hosted red carpets. I was really nervous before this.
Of course.
I was really nervous. I didn't want to screw up Dan and Julie's daughter's bat mitzvah.
What about Jules?
Yeah, what about Jules?
I keep saying Julie, don't I?
Hey, Jules, is it okay if we just call you Julie? I think it would make it easier.
I've been called worse. Awesome.
Well, thanks again for having us out there. We really appreciate it. And hey, K-Rock listeners, Kevin and Bean fans, if you guys want to hire the Mitzvah Brothers, go to DJArmorCon.com.
It did sound like a fun day. Was Lily happy at the end of it all?
She was overwhelmed. I mean, she just had the best weekend, and the party just was the icing on top of the cake.
And can I ask you a personal question? Are you now completely broke?
Yes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us for his weekly visit just after 8 o'clock. Coming up here on K-Rock, and then we'll give away the first pair of tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas to see Night Number 1 December 8th at the Forum. So that's a great half hour ahead. Allie's here with What's Happening Now.
Guys, I'd like to give something away. Creed 2. All right. Not giving away the movie, but it's in theaters November 21st. But this is quite the prize package that you are qualifying for. First of all, five of you are going to get a pair of Fandango passes to see Creed in theaters. But you are also going to qualify for the Creed 2 Rematch in Philadelphia prize pack. That is round-trip airfare to Philadelphia, three-night hotel stay and event transportation, and the ultimate Creed 2 experience. You're going to visit filming locations, participate in exclusive cheesesteak making, and more.
You're going to have to box?
You're going to have to box. You're going to have to run up those steps and then do the woo. Oh, that's Rocky, but still, same.
Philadelphia, hello.
Hello, Philadelphia. If you are callers 10 through 14 right now, you are going to get the pair of Fandango passes to see Creed 2 in theaters and then qualify for that amazing prize pack as well. 1-800-520-1067. Good luck, callers 10 through 14.
I have a clip of Creed if you'd like to hear it.
I'd like to.
Yeah. Sounds good.
You're stupid.
Call now.
All right. Thank you so much. So, remember that perfect tearjerker ending of Toy Story 3? Andy goes off to college, says a fond farewell, bids adieu to his toys, bringing the trilogy to its natural conclusion. Well, according to this article, suck those tears back into your eye sockets because Pixar has another Toy Story movie coming out June 21st, 2019, and a teaser trailer for the fourth installment features all of our old favorites. You've got Woody, Buzz Lightyear, Jessie, but it also introduces a new toy who insists he's not a toy at all. That new toy is called Forky.
Yay! I'm sorry?
Forky is a spork. He's facing an identity crisis. No taste for adventure. Here's the thing. Director Josh Cooley said this in a statement. The world of Toy Story is built upon the idea that everything in the world has a purpose. A toy's purpose is to be there for its child. But what about toys that are made out of other objects? Forky is a toy that Bonnie made out of a disposable spork. So he's facing his own crisis. He wants to fulfill his purpose as a spork, but now a new toy purpose has been thrust upon him. In case I didn't love Forky enough, it is voiced by Tony Hale. Oh. Good night, everybody.
He's the best.
Toy Story 3. I can't. Do not, Bean. Do not poop on this in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about Forky.
Why does Hollywood just keep recycling the same ideas over and over and over again?
Oh,
here's
really?
Here's another spork that wants to fulfill his destiny as a spork, but right? also is beloved by a child
Been
as a
there.
Toy.
Seen
that
it.
Old trope.
Seriously, how many times?
You
My
guys.
Whole life I've been seeing that story.
Forky! I'm so excited.
I'm so happy about Forky.
I'm so excited for Forky. The world needs a little Forky right now. Right?
Sure. I'm with you.
Love it. Tony Hale.
Right?
I mean, come on.
He's the best.
Nothing is better.
Of course, I've never seen a Toy Story movie. So that's Tom Hanks and
Tom Hanks is Woody. Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear. And Joan Cusack is Jessie.
Nice.
I can't wait, you guys.
Isn't it next summer?
Well, yeah. It's June 21st, 2019.
Okay.
No big deal. It's a great time to be had by all.
It's
putting
it's
it on my calendar.
Right?
Cannot wait.
You guys, today marks the official start of holiday streaming season. This according to Netflix.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But to celebrate, the service is launching several holiday titles, and then they're going to continue this into the next weeks, including The Holiday Calendar, which is available now, The Great British Baking Show, Holidays, that's available November 30th, and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, A Midwinter's Tale, available on December 13th. Which, I mean, that's all well and good, but Hallmark's been at it for a few weeks, y'all. That's all I'm saying. You guys, I told you about the app, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In case you're just joining us.
Several times.
Hallmark has an app, mm-hmm. and they can send you alerts to when the new movies are, and you can cross off when you have watched the new movies. So far, do you want me to keep you up to date on the app?
For you?
Yeah.
I would like to hear the movies that you've seen.
Okay.
Because you watch terrible movies.
Oh, I absolutely do. Okay. It's pulling up the app. I have watched 4 of 22.
Okay.
Which is not bad because so far only 5 have aired. So here's the ones I've watched. Christmas at Pemberley Manor. Christmas Joy. Road to Christmas. And then last night I watched Saturday's movie. It's Christmas Eve. See, it's not Christmas Eve. Her name is Eve, you guys. That was Leanne Rimes in that one.
Wow.
Real good flicks.
Call now.
Nope. I'm just saying. God, I love those movies.
That's the woman
so much.
For you.
It really is. It really is. Some dudes love those movies too. Hey, good news for Taco Bell fanatics. You can now host a party at the fast food restaurant.
All right.
The chain announced Party by Taco Bell. It allows people to book a party at participating Taco Bell locations through December 22nd. On their website, Taco Bell says they'd like to give people the opportunity to celebrate life's biggest milestones or just because occasions. So some participating cities include Cleveland, New York, Dallas, and Newport Beach. If you book a party at Taco Bell, you're going to get a Taco Bell party decor kit, which includes a table runner, plates, and fun photo props for social media. You can book that party at TacoBellParty.com.
Here's the thing. I love Taco Bell.
Yes, you do.
I go there a lot.
More than most.
But if you're throwing a party mm-hmm. and somebody says, where is it? You go, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly the location that everybody wants to go to for a party.
But then you show up and they're like, whoa, you have a table runner and plates?
I'd be happy.
And fun photo props for social media? This is a party.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Right?
Well, I mean, they're selling it is what they're doing. So I believe that's
you saw that lady in the news last week who wanted to have her birthday party at Taco Bell. She was 106.
No,
and that was her dream to have her party at Taco Bell. And she did. And it looked like a good time for all.
There you have it. Right there.
I mean, sadly, it was the last meal she ever had, but still.
I mean, with the and the
right.
Some birthdays for you: Megan Mullally, Ryan Gosling, Anne Hathaway. Ryan is not, and that's what's happening.
Right after we catch up with Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone, the NFL Network, we will give you tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Goose to Christmas. So if you're a Smashing Pumpkins fan, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, Interrupters, AFI, AJ, or Bad Flower fan, stick around. We'll tell you how you can win those tickets coming up in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, let's welcome Andrew back to the program like we do on Monday mornings. Hey, Andrew!
Good morning, guys.
I want to start with this question for you, sir, after week 10. You could argue about who the best team is in football right now. I'm sure there are people who would say the Saints. There are people who would say the Rams. Obviously, the Chiefs are very, very good. Who's the worst team in the NFL this season? Is it the Raiders?
Ladies and gentlemen, your Oakland Raiders.
It is the Raiders, huh?
I mean, I guess the Bills, some people would say, but the Bills have won 3 games. The yeah. Cardinals have won 2 games. Now, granted, both games that the Cardinals have won have come at the expense of the 49ers. The 49ers have just a bunch of injuries, but they yeah. have their quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. I guess you would say the Raiders do as well in Derek Carr. But the way John Gruden has traded away assets, mismanaged the team, signed a bunch of old guys he probably didn't need if he was going to trade away his good players, I mean, they are a disaster.
Yeah, a disaster. It is not what the Raider Nation hoped for when John Gruden returned, that's for sure.
No, but they have a whole bunch of draft picks to mess up the next 2 years.
All right. Las Vegas at this point is like, can we re-vote about having this team come to town? What was your big surprise yesterday? Would it have been how poorly the Patriots played?
Let's see. I think
I think my surprise yesterday is how resounding some of these victories were. Like, it's not surprising the Saints went into Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. The fact that they scored 50.
Yeah.
It's not surprising the Titans beat the Patriots. I think it is surprising they stomped them, like you said. I don't think it's surprising that the Bills, and how about Matt Barkley, who signed 11 days ago, beat the Jets. I think it is surprising they scored 41 points in doing it and probably sealed Todd Bowles' fate, although it's not going to be today. I think those were some of the surprises, or as Dave was just telling me over the phone, the fact that his Falcons beat the Browns, or rather lost to the Browns,
yeah,
and did so.
You don't have to listen to Dave.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was their most complete win of the year.
You have a, yeah, as a Browns fan, you actually have some things to be happy about this season.
Yeah, they might mess it up and win enough games and keep Greg Williams as head coach. Woo.
Question about the Rams-Seahawks game, which just like the first time they met earlier in the season, was a very, very close game that came down to the last 30 seconds. It could have gone either way. And I'm still mad at Russell for how high he threw that pass. But what was that Floyd Mayweather on the sidelines that they were handing footballs to? Please explain.
So I took a lot of grief for this on the Twitter. I firmly believe that any player who hands Floyd Mayweather a football after scoring a touchdown should be fined. or there should be a 15-yard flag. I mean, if players are going to get fined for throwing the ball into the stands or using like whipping out a cell phone like Mike Thomas did in the Rams game last week, the Saints wide receiver, if you're going to get fined and flagged for those things, or Tyreek Hill, who jumped into the stands yesterday and commandeered a CBS camera.
That was awesome.
Which I'm sure was a union violation as well. You know, then players should be fined as well for giving the ball to a guy like Floyd Mayweather.
All right, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
I mean, there isn't a little kid there.
Right?
Why is he even there? I don't get anything about him being there. Why is he welcome anywhere, I guess, is the question.
Amen.
Floyd likes sports. He likes to go to games. I mean,
Floyd likes Floyd.
I'm sure my Twitter's going to blow up now, too, because I'm daring to speak ill about Floyd Mayweather. Just Google.
And now he's getting ready to fight sort of Japanese kickboxer or something next. I mean, it's
He pulled out of that, I think. He claimed they claimed he was doing it before he agreed to do it. I have no idea. But the thing about that game, and without trying to be too dramatic here, is the fact that the majority of the Rams and their support staff had not slept in 3 days. And they're building in Thousand Oaks and many of their homes in Thousand Oaks. They had to be evacuated. You had players sleeping in multiple hotels. You had team staff and front office people sleeping in hotels all the way, and I'm not kidding, from downtown to Santa Barbara.
Wow.
As they were no different than anyone else who lived in Thousand Oaks and Agora or West Hills or Oak Park or Malibu. And there's a reason that Sean McVay, after the game yesterday, handed game balls to four members of their support staff who were moving people around and changing practices and finding hotel rooms. And one of the members of the support staff, one of them rather, is already in Colorado Springs as the advance team because they're flying there today to practice at altitude as has been scheduled now for months, because they're going to play in Mexico City a mile and a half high on Monday night, a week from tonight. So they had planned to go to Colorado all week. They're still going to go to Colorado this afternoon. And honestly, for a lot of people there, it's okay because they still can't go back to their neighborhood.
Yeah. And they did not seem distracted, though.
Played that game.
Yeah, they did not seem distracted, which is amazing.
It's amazing. And we can come back on all the cliches about sports being a break from reality and a safe haven and all those things. I don't know if those apply. All I know is that they were the better team and they still found a way to do it yesterday. And now they turn back to their normal lives and try to make everything work.
And I want to give a shout out, but I don't recall which player it was, Andrew. Maybe you do, who was donating his game salary yesterday to Thousand Oaks victims of the and families of the mass shooting.
It was Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle, and his game check, and a lot of his eight-figure salary is bonuses, but his actual weekly game check after taxes, I think, is roughly about $60,000. Whoa. And he and his wife donated the entire thing to victims, and to the families of victims, rather, the borderline shooting this past week. And Andrew Whitworth has been a rock
as a veteran leader on that team. He's the one who addressed the team Friday. He was with the Saints during Katrina as well. He's from Cincinnati. I'm sorry, he played in Cincinnati, but his family, he's from Louisiana. Anyway, he's the adult in the room there, and he really helped
very impressive.
Bring people together. And there's the whole Halle Berry thing, if you want the levity, yesterday, too.
Oh, I don't know about that. What happened with Halle Berry?
Okay, so Jared Goff has a lot of interesting calls of the line, audibles, like Obama, yes. Obama.
Right, you know, yes.
At Omaha. Well, yesterday he called out Halle Berry, and it was clearly audible over the TV mics.
And did she come into the game? I wish that made her appear.
but yes, she now appears in the secondary. No. She heard it, and she tweeted a video of the play at Jared Goff and said, "Hey, what is this?" And he wrote back, "My favorite play ever."
I love it.
That's fantastic.
That went viral, and you should see the look on his face, on Goff's face, when told in his post-game press conference that she not only heard it but tweeted. Like
new romance alert, right?
I love it. That's fantastic.
I think she's twice his age, but good for you.
good for you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Andrew is the host of NFL's Up to the Minute on the NFL Network. I think I mentioned that. And DirecTV's Red Zone channel every Sunday as well on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. Thank you for everything, Andrew. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Bye-bye. All right, you ready?
Ready.
What are we looking for this time around?
Pumpkins fans.
Ooh, Pumpkins fans, because they are headlining night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday, December 8th at the Forum. Some seats still available through Ticketmaster, but why not win a pair for you right now? If you're a Pumpkins fan, we need you to call us, 1-800-520-1067. You'll be playing a game to win these tickets for night one next on K-Rock. It's a very exciting time of year, you guys. You might even say it's the most wonderful time of the year because the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are right around the corner, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th at the Forum, on sale now through Ticketmaster. We're going to give away a pair of tickets right now, night one. A great lineup headlined by the Smashing Pumpkins, and we're going to do it with a game that we call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
50-0, Allie McKay is here as one contestant. And then there's Dave, the worst player in the history of the game. Let's meet our first contestant, shall we, Kevin? And we'll explain the game to Manuel Montebello, line one.
Hey, Manuel.
Good morning, party people.
Good
How are you
morning.
Doing?
We are good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
All right.
It says here you're a fire sprinkler designer. How have your fire sprinklers been working over this last couple of weeks?
I'll tell you the truth. I have two houses in Malibu that are currently under construction and have fire sprinklers in it, but I don't think the houses are going to make it, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Man. I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, I hope there's some good news.
Way to bring it up, Bean.
I hope there's some good news for you here with Title Fight. Have you heard the game before? You know how it's played?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. Who are you going to pick as your partner?
I'm going to pick Allie.
Yes, that's the right answer.
That's very smart. Allie, you want to explain for people listening who don't know what you're about to do with Manuel?
Yeah, I have song titles of Smashing Pumpkin songs. I cannot say any of the words in the title. I just have to describe them without using those words. And whoever gets the most in that allotted time, they win.
Right.
But
right.
It could go to a tiebreaker, and then we all fight about what that is.
I don't think we bring this up enough, but Allie and Dave have not looked at the songs they have, so it's a surprise to them when the clock starts.
Yeah, she's going to turn the page as your 45 seconds starts, and she's going to try to get you to say as many Pumpkins titles as you can. And if there's one that's just not connecting, you like have no clue what she's going for, you can pass and come back to it at the end if you have time. All right, Manuel, you ready to play?
Yep.
Good luck.
Let's do it.
And go.
Okay, this is this evening. Not tomorrow,
tonight.
Yes, this number is less than
1979.
One. No, less
than... Oh, zero.
Yes. When you try and take someone's gun away from them, you are trying to what them?
Disarm.
Yes. This is something that you would put over, like, your mouth and your nose, or a dog.
Muzzle.
Yes. This comes out of a gun, and then a moth turns into this.
Bullet.
Yes.
With butterfly wings?
Yes.
Look at that. Wow.
That is how it is done.
Wow.
Congratulations, you won.
That's what winners sound like.
Why did I say tomorrow, tomorrow? But that good for you on getting tonight, tonight.
All right. So that was Manuel and Allie. How are you feeling now, Dave? I'm not hearing as much boasting as usual from you so far.
Listen, I got to redeem myself from the last appearance.
You sure do.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do good today.
All right. Let's go to Richard in Ontario. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. You got Dave. I'm sorry.
Richard, we're going to do this.
I mean, if you want to just hang up because it's going to happen,
you have no shame.
I'm giving you that option.
Now, Richard, we're going to do this.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
And go.
All right. It's a club at Disneyland. You know, it's a little bit more than 22. Come on, Richard. It's not 1, 2, but...
Richard.
Yeah, and then double that up.
Oh, 33.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Not tomorrow, but...
Not today.
All right. All right. If you like a person, what do you do? I mean, what is it? What is it called?
Keep it clean, man.
Yeah, if you like someone, what do you... From
Ava
afar.
Adore?
Yeah. All right. This is the opposite of the worst. Like, my my record is, like, if you never lost.
Landslide.
Nah, it was
well,
perfect.
I mean.
That was a lot better than I thought it would go, Dave.
Yeah. Those are tough clues, too, I have to be honest.
But you were good.
Ava Adore. Ava Adore. That was a tough one.
He was good, though.
You're going for perfect at the last. Yeah, it's not no shame on you, Richard. You were an outstanding contestant, but I'm sorry, not this time around. We'll be giving away tickets between now and the concert. So thank you for playing. Let's go back to Manuel real quick. Manuel, congratulations. Woo-hoo! You and Allie are going to Acoustic Christmas Night 1. How about that?
Oh, awesome. Poor Manuel.
Happy to take Allie.
You don't have to. Take someone lovely. You can do it.
Fear mug.
Well, that's just hurtful is what that is. All right. Thank you for playing. This has been Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
So the LA Kings have tried everything else this season, and they thought, let's just throw this against the wall and see if it helps. Let's have Kevin in the broadcast booth. That'll be our approach for the game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Right? Pretty smart of them.
And, I mean, they lost again, but I don't think it was your fault. I don't think they can blame you. Yeah. But, I mean, it was to Calgary. It was to Red Hot Calgary, so.
They are pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not your fault, but you disappointed us all, Kevin.
Oh. This is an odd thing because...
With your professionalism in the booth.
Yes.
Because where the hell is any of that when you're doing this show?
Oh, this show doesn't get any of it. Let's be honest. No, I didn't want to screw it up because I love the Kings.
Yeah.
So right. I was very careful not to screw it up.
Right, but I'm saying maybe some of that attitude here in the morning.
No, don't be ridiculous.
I'm saying I love it and I don't want to screw it up. Maybe a little extra effort. I'm just suggesting if you've proven you can do it, I'm just
hearing pops and buzzes. I don't understand.
Right. I had friends that that don't know Kevin that I said, listen, we just have to watch this pregame because he's probably going to say some stuff that we have to make fun of him for on Monday. And they're like, all right, we're watching it and. My friend goes, wait, which one is Kevin? And I said, on the far right. And she goes, he's doing so good. I'm like, I know. I was so upset.
Everybody was disappointed.
But for people that didn't even know you, to be like, what are you even talking about? He's excellent.
Right?
Very upsetting.
My wife did see some of it online, and she did point out that those two announcers were wearing beautiful suits, and Kevin looked like he was dressed in gymboree. She did notice that. So at least there's a little bit of our Kevin. So, all right. So we'll hear some audio from Kevin's appearance at the Kings game on Saturday night coming up right off the top of the hour. First, though, Allie's here with another What's Happening Here for Monday.
Well, let me just read to you some of the headlines. Morrissey jostles with fans on stage. Morrissey attacked on stage at Copley Symphony Hall in San Diego. Morrissey attacked on stage. Crazed fans.
Sounds serious.
It does sound serious, which is really not what happened at all. Essentially, it's what happens at the end of most Morrissey shows. Fans try and get on stage, try and get closer to the singer. Some want a hug, which always shocks me because I can't think of anyone that hugs less than Morrissey.
Yeah.
Maybe Bean. but other than that. But he was singing Every Day Is Like Sunday when a few concert attendees got up on the stage. Footage of the incident makes it appear like one guy strikes Morrissey before Morrissey was then exiting the stage and that guy was dragged away by security. But Morrissey's manager released a statement saying nobody tried to punch the singer. He instead categorizes the fan in question as, quote, certainly more aggressive in reaching out for him than most, so security had to do their job and subdue the fan. But this manager was basically like, listen, he said, Morrissey fans are not malicious. The fans were simply doing what they've been doing for almost 30 years. So calm your tees.
Did he say that?
He didn't. That's me adding it. But it. Let's maybe slow down on the headlines. Everyone's going to be all right.
Have never seen Morrissey.
Absolutely. Crazy. In case you didn't go to the box office this weekend, let me tell you who did. Essentially, a lot of people with families. Because coming in at $66 million this weekend, The Grinch took the top spot, and Universal reports that it's the largest opening weekend for a Christmas-themed film in box office history. Not bad, you guys.
That's
not
crazy.
Not bad at all. Bohemian Rhapsody came in second place with another $30 million. Overlord came in third with $10 million, which
so
Kevin
good.
Saw, right?
Yeah, that was so good.
Yeah.
Zombies killing Nazis. What's not to love?
I mean, honestly.
Is it weird to be rooting for the zombies, though, for a change?
I mean, it's...
Because you grew up your whole life rooting against the zombies.
It's
now they're the good guys.
No, it's... Actually, I said that wrong. It's American troops, and the Nazis are trying to create the perfect soldier by turning people into zombies.
Oh.
So they're Nazi zombies.
Once they become zombies, they're not anything. They just want to kill, I think.
Okay. All right.
They were doing experiments to try and make it work. And it was
true story?
Sure.
It's a documentary. Okay. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms landed at number four with $9.6 million. And coming in fifth with $8 million, The Girl in the Spider's Web, A New Dragon Tattoo Story. And in case you didn't love him enough, Bruno Mars closed out his 24-karat Magic World Tour in his hometown of Honolulu, where he also is providing Thanksgiving meals to 24,000 Hawaiians, because it's this 24-karat Magic World Tour.
Don't have to listen to him sing, right?
You have an unnatural hatred for him.
It makes zero sense. Yeah. It really does. He's
cartoonishly yes, or cartoonishly no.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Bizarre.
Let's talk about him like he's not here.
Let's do that. But Bruno Mars, in typical fashion, finished out all the shows of the tour in his hometown and then bestowed upon them, you know, just 24,000 meals that he will provide for his hometown. So he's a wonderful human being, as well as being extremely talented. So suck it, Bean.
Talented, good.
Wow. Some birthdays for you. Anne Hathaway, Megan Mullally, Ryan
She's
Gosling.
She's a bitch.
Okay, here's the thing. Because people don't understand my cartoon love, really, for Megan Mullally. It's
true.
Concerning to a lot of people. I love her so very much. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I bring up her name, you guys play the she's a bitch. And then people think I don't love Megan Mullally. But it's really that I love her so much that you guys try and ruin everything.
She's a bitch.
She is not. She's wonderful. And I really don't want you doing it anymore. That's what's happening.
She's a bitch.
Speaking of My Chemical Romance, that's a band that you associate with the Los Angeles Kings, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Kevin, you go to a lot of games, but this is the first one that you have had a chance to see part of from the vantage point of the broadcast booth. That must have been very exciting for you to kind of go in the inner circle.
I loved it. It was really fun. People were like, how did you do it? I was like, I don't know, but I had a great time.
Why did they invite you up there?
Because I'm a consummate professional.
Kevin, why'd they invite you up there?
They're starting a thing called Hockey Night in L.A. Mm-hmm. And so they had Eric Stone Street last week, and he sat in with them, and then I did it this week, and somebody else is going to do it next week.
Any chance that they also wanted to talk about your charity, which is now your chance to plug right now?
Thank you.
Which is what we were trying to get you to do.
Good God.
By repeatedly asking.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. A lot is wrong with me. We were getting food outside. We had a food drive outside of Staples Center, and the LA Kings were working with us, and people would bring food for abused women and children.
What's that charity called,
It's called Friends and Helpers.
You could do a better job of promoting it.
Okay. Friendsandhelpers.org is the website. If anybody would like to go there, we have a huge holiday program coming up.
Who was the lady who off camera obviously held a shotgun to your head to force you, like a hostage video, to say hello to Ally McKay?
Yeah, it was Carlin.
What was that about?
I'm not sure. Here's what I know. She came to me before. She said, we're going to have about 20 or 30 seconds, so let's come up with a plan. I said, okay. And she said, also, we have to say hi to Ally. And I was like, all right. And then I came up to her again just before, and she's like, let's say hi to Ally. And I said, okay, fine. Whatever you want. And then she said it again. And then all of a sudden, we were doing the interview, and she sort of forced me to say hi to you. Well, I was fighting her.
Okay. Were you like, listen, I work with her every day. Right. No need to say hi on a broadcast.
Oh, no. She insisted, and this is how it went. I sort of like, hi, Ally.
Well, there's someone special that if you don't say hi to her, I think she might come after you on Twitter. Do you want to say hello?
Ally McKay, hi.
Oh, that was too quick. Ally McKay, Kevin Ryder, I swear, he said hello. Now, Jim, Foxy, he's going to be coming up to you guys in the second period. Are you ready for him?
Oh, we're ready. We are ready. And we're going to say hi to Ally also. Oh, yeah. We saw some tweets from Ally today.
I wonder
if this is all about you, right?
Listen.
Annoying, right?
This is like my family. My King's family. I love every single one of them. Who I am.
All right. So then you go up into the booth.
Yes.
And you sit down, and you immediately are a broadcast professional, so you certainly know how to put headphones on.
Well, I mean, I sort of showed up at the last second.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I know, surprising, right? And they've got the headphones with the microphone attached.
Oh, like Time Life Judy.
What?
Time Life Judy, when she has the little micro, like Britney Spears well.
Sure.
All right. Sorry. I don't know what
Time Life Judy is. So they hand me the headphones, and they're already sort of starting to talk, but there's a video playing so that they can't see me yet. So I'm putting on the headphones, and I couldn't get the microphone to work, And then the producer that was standing to my left goes, you're putting them on backwards. So I took them back off, turned it around, put them on, and then, of course, it worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And we were making fun of Jim Fox's hair because I don't know if you've noticed, but it doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's like a helmet.
Yeah. He has really good hair, but had even crazier hair in his playing days.
Oh, yeah. So then I was making fun of his hair, and then he brought up, oh, you should have seen me before.
What about Jim's hair, though? Have we tested it?
You know, you wouldn't let me touch it. I don't know what's actually there. Here's Vandenberg with a shot off of Giordano to the corner. There's some pictures of you with the hair in the 80s, though, in the perm.
No, you got the post-perm photo.
Okay.
Not the tight perm photo that when it had it done. Gotcha. I'd like to see both.
Oh, we can dig those up. Don't you worry.
All right, so they dug them up, and then they put a picture up that's Jim Fox with it's basically a white guy afro.
Yeah, it's good-looking hair.
And it's spectacular.
It is.
And I may have loved it too much.
Look at this. Just look at this. Look at this masterpiece. Watch it. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
That is a masterpiece.
That is the best picture I've ever seen.
Do you ever want to mop the floor with anything?
Wow.
Just turn me upside down.
Wow.
That is the best picture I've ever seen, Jim.
What?
How did you fit your helmet on top of it?
That's fantastic.
That's a lot.
The helmet was on top of the hair.
It wasn't on his head. Oh, yeah, it was on top, yeah.
Like 8 inches above his head.
Okay.
Jim says, okay. I'm like, all right, I'm going to move on. It was an amazing experience because you're sitting next to the play-by-play guy who's Alex Faust is any play-by-play guy. To sit there and watch them work is amazing.
Yeah.
So good. And then
are you tempted to jump in and take over a little bit? Show them how it's done.
No, because I assume that 99% of the people that were watching Fox Sports West were watching the Kings game.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried my best not to talk while Alex was talking and not to talk while Jim was talking. I just sort of picked my spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blast.
Yeah.
And then the producer said, hey, in my headphones, if you want to stay for another segment, give me a thumbs up. And I was like, both hands.
You're grabbing other people's thumbs.
I was like, I'm going to stay here all night. And then, you know, then they kicked me out. But it was a blast.
So cool.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
That's awesome of the Kings to participate in, you know, in co-sponsoring the charity event going on that night.
Agreed.
And also to have you up in the booth.
And I'm sorry to disappoint people. It's a weird thing to disappoint people when you don't screw up.
Well, you have one job, Kevin, and that's to be Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, just ahead of the final What's Happening here on this Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show, Ally, let's hit again the supportlafd.org website.
you were saying that the firefighters, you know, God bless the generosity of the people in the communities trying to help out the firefighters and the fire victims, but maybe some of their good intentions are misplaced.
Yeah, they've been saying, listen, we love that you guys want to help so much, but please stop bringing donations to fire departments. It's overwhelming people that are already stretched very thin. And rumors were going around that fire departments were asking for eye drops and all these different things, granola bars, all of that. And LAFD was like, we got it covered.
This is not
we are good. Please don't bring any of that. Instead, donate to the what is the website again, Bean? I don't have it.
Supportlafd.org.
Yes, those are the ones that are trying to get the hydration systems, the packs.
I totally get somebody saying, hey, I'll bring by a pie or something, but now you're dealing with a perishable food item that the fire department has to figure out something to do with.
Yeah.
And they're busy.
Just don't drop off anything.
It turns out that
don't drop off anything.
They're busy.
They're very busy.
Yes, absolutely.
But your heart is in the right place if you're trying to donate and help. And I know we can speak on behalf of the L.A. Fire Department. We say they very much appreciate it. So if you'd go to supportlafd.org for more information. And don't forget, you can always donate to the American Red Cross, too. You can visit redcross.org. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Or do what I did, which is just text CA Wildfires, CA Wildfires to 90999 to make a small donation as well. So whatever you can do, if you're lucky enough to not be in the fire zone, help out the people that weren't so lucky this time around. All right, Allie is here now with our final look at what's happening.
Remember back during the summer when things were so much better, when we got word that Warner Brothers was looking to bring the TV show ALF back to the small screen, and we were pumped. They said that maybe the original writers were all on board. They just needed to find a home. And then, of course,
I like the way Ali is setting this up. Well, right? I feel like this is heading for bad news.
Bad news right here.
And then we had offered up the services of Kevin in case they couldn't get the original voice of ALF back. We had someone on our staff that obviously could do any sort of impersonation or impression, but his ALF is incredible. Kevin, let's give the people a taste of ALF.
No problem.
I mean,
as long as it's those two words, I'm in.
Well, you've got Willie, too.
Willie? No problem, Willie.
See? I mean, nailing it. So that's why it came as such a shock to me when I read that TV Line is claiming that a potential rehash of the late 80s sitcom centered around that alien that lives with his American family may have failed to attract interest from production companies.
No!
How dare you? How dare
wait,
you?
Wait, so the ALF people are willing to make it, but they can't get anybody to want to pay for it?
Absolutely. They're all on board, and then production companies are like, pass.
Thanks,
whatever.
Obama.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that's a political thing, you guys.
Just saying.
If you guys don't know about ALF, it ran for 4 seasons from 1986 to 1990 on NBC, and it was all about Gordon Shumway. Friendly extraterrestrial nicknamed ALF, alien life form, crash lands in the garage of the Tanner family.
This is awful!
It's awful that people aren't just... There's not a bidding war for ALF. How could there not be a bidding
not
war?
One person. I don't understand show business anymore.
I really don't.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Same.
And my day is ruined.
A day? What a way to start the week, let alone life.
I mean, they can bring back freaking Murphy Brown. No room for ALF. Come
right?
on now.
Right? Roseanne,
Stupid
ALF.
Stupid Roseanne, right?
All the other ones that are back.
And Kevin, you know, not to reveal too much personal business here, he's kind of already spent some of that money. I mean, he was kind of counting on it.
I did buy a car already.
Did you?
To take it back.
Sweet, sweet ALF money.
Yep.
Let's hear one more time, just in case someone's listening and they're like, I don't know, I'm on the fence. Someone with the production company needs to hear you again.
No problem.
I mean, that's all I got, but...
No, you stole Willie.
Willie?
Willie? No problem, Willie.
I mean, it's like I'm looking at you, but all I hear is ALF. Like, it's phenomenal the way that you just channel
all right,
him.
Take it easy.
Well, Kevin is the man of two voices.
Really is. What was the other one? The Queen?
The Queen.
The Queen, yeah.
What if the Queen met ALF?
Nope.
Let's hear it.
With Jigsaw.
Let's hear it. Yes, with Jigsaw. The Queen meets up with ALF and Jigsaw and they solve crimes. Hit it, Steve.
Do you want to play a game?
No, I'm a royal high.
No problem, Willie.
But what if Vinny shows up?
Come on now.
Wow. I mean, you took me to a place I wasn't expecting to go, Kevin. That was well done.
Call now.
Nope.
No.
No, that's about.
So Aerosmith's Joe Perry, really scary night on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. He collapsed backstage and was rushed to a hospital after a performance with Billy Joel. He had just finished performing Walk This Way when he began gasping for air in his dressing room, and he was carted away on a stretcher, but they worked on him for about 40 minutes backstage, and they even gave him a tracheal tube down his throat to help him breathe.
Wow, that's scary.
So, yeah, really scary. His rep says that he is in stable condition, and he's alert and responsive. He's expected to return to the road later this month. Very scary situation, right?
Yep.
We're going to lose all of our classic rock stars, by the way, in the next few years. Makes me sad.
Why the next few? Why are you putting a cap on it?
Well, no, I'm saying they're getting old. I'm saying the legends, the Mick Jaggers and the Paul McCartneys and the Robert Plants and the Eric Claptons and that generation is dying out. You know, people are running into problems like this.
Bean likes to focus on death.
Really?
Well,
does.
I do get pretty sad a lot, as you know.
I understand.
Glad he's okay.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a new baby in the world, this time belonging to Kate Upton and Justin Verlander. They welcomed their first child together on Wednesday. They announced their little girl's arrival on Instagram with a picture of a close-up of the baby's little face with the caption, Genevieve Upton Verlander, 11/7/18. So
that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
I don't think we're saying that at all, sir. That was very strange. Very strange of you.
It would be weird, though, right?
It would be if little Genevieve wound up as Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird thing to ever say.
It would be strange.
Very bizarre. So Lady Gaga was honored Thursday night at the SAG-AFTRA Foundation's third annual Patron of the Arts Awards. And she gave a very moving speech about mental health awareness and called for real change in the treatment and the stigma surrounding the disease.
Lady Gaga!
Lady Gaga!
Lady Gaga!
I feel like that's three too many right there. She urged the SAG-AFTRA Foundation to expand their programs for mental health care and later offered to put her money where her mouth is and shell out a donation to partner with them. She also shared a lot of personal details of her own mental health crisis. And she said that when she had first started out her career in Hollywood, she didn't really have anyone to talk to about anything. And through treatment, she found that she suffered from symptoms of disassociation and PTSD that later morphed into physical chronic pain, fibromyalgia, panic attacks, acute responses to trauma, and debilitating mental spirals that
She's
included...
insane.
Okay, not a great soundbite right there.
Really, she's definitely a legend.
She is a legend. Let's leave it at that. Good God. You don't have to press every button right in front of you, Bean. That would be bad.
She's a butt biter.
Again. Good Lord, we're talking about someone that's actually doing good in the world. What is wrong with you? Oh, she's going to be in the new sex movie. Hi, no. Should have looked that up. The book and lots of sex.
No,
lady. Anywho, she did a lot of good that night, so we'll just leave it at that.
She's fat.
She is not. Okay. Some birthdays for you. Megan Mullally, Anne
She's
Hathaway, and Ryan Gosling. I hate
I
you all.
Feel
it's only
like
Monday.
She's an evil person.
And that's what's happening. Good God.
Don't worry about her. She's just an attention seeker.
Thank you, Allie. And you drive home today. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Allie is dream interpreter.
I got a dream for you.
Your neighbors called the cops on you.
Uh-oh.
We're going to have you call. We have author Brad Meltzer on the program, who
we love
much.
Brad. It's Book Club Tuesday.
And more tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well tomorrow.